How about that? Okay. So this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. That's good, y'all. Repetition reaps rewards, I think is what they say. How many parents know? No, I'm just playing. No. Genesis 16:16, Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abraham, or to Abram. Well, let me go ahead and read chapter 17, verse 1. They are connected. So when Abraham was 99, so he was 86, now he's 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. It had been 13 years since Abraham fathered a son named Ishmael with his wife's maidservant. Now, the Bible gives us accurate records. It doesn't endorse everything. It gives us good examples to follow and bad examples to learn from so that we do not repeat those same mistakes. And so, of course, this caused strife in the family. And in this particular case, it's gone on for generations because the descendants of Ishmael are the Arab people and the descendants of Isaac are the Jewish people. So we have a pretty regular reminder of the conflict that could come about by doing something out of God's will. But thank God there is forgiveness. And so after 13 years, we see that God basically shows up on the scene and he says, I am Almighty God. I want to tell you what this Hebrew name is because I'll refer back to it. It's El, that's God, and Shaddai is, it has multiple meanings. It can mean all powerful. It can mean all sufficient. It even can be like a nursing mother, like you're comforting and nurturing a baby to grow. That's the idea of what God says. He says, I am El Shaddai. I'm all powerful. I'm all sufficient. I'm what you need. I'll nurture you. I'll care for you. Now, based on that, walk before me. That before talks about his presence. Walk before me and be blameless. So the walk is a way of life. Some translations say live. So I'm going to give you the title of the message, but let me tell you how this verse is translated in one translation. It says, live in my presence and be blameless. Live in my presence and be blameless. So I base the title of the message and the real truth I'd like to share this morning with you in these moments is live in the awareness of God's presence. Live in the awareness of God's presence. Would you say that with me? Live in the awareness of God's presence. The fact is, God's spirit is everywhere. We can't run from his spirit, but we don't always live like he's with us. So the idea of being aware, that just really was impressed on me this week because I want to be more aware of God's presence, not just with me, but if we are born again and we know the Lord, God's presence in us. And so to live in the awareness, I don't believe there's any other way that we can live a blameless life or a life of sincerity. It did not say, or does not say live a perfect life before me. He knows we're human, but live a genuine life, live a blameless life, live a life of sincerity before me. So I want to ask you a question just to think about, please, just in your own heart and mind. What difference would it make in your daily decisions and actions and thoughts and words if you lived continually in the awareness of God's holy presence in you? Let's think about that a moment. I can tell you, I'm sure it would help my attitude at times. I'm sure it would help me not to get a little quick, like short to, or quick response. And so That's what I'm saying. I'm not preaching this at you. I'm saying I want to live in the awareness. I want to live by this scriptural truth, but I want to encourage you to do the same. Live in the awareness of God's presence. In chapter 17, verse 2, the Bible says this. God is still speaking, and he says, I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer, verse 5, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. And then I notice, or I love how God words this, for I have made you a father of many nations. So God says, I'm going to do something. In fact, I counted this. I don't know why it caught my attention. And I know man put the chapters and verses in here. Thank God for them. Makes it easier to find. But if you just look at this section where God and Abraham are having this conversation, I counted the word covenant 13 times. I thought, well, that's interesting to me because it had been 13 years since God had, since he was on the scene. And I counted, of those 13, eight of them specifically said, it's my covenant. God said, this is my covenant. And that number eight, I'll show you why that's significant in just a moment. But God changed his name from exalted father, Abram, to father of a multitude, Abraham. So God changed his name before he did anything, before he really had fathered a multitude or even more than one child that wasn't with his wife. He said, I've already done it, and I'm going to work it out, and I'm going to work in you. I believe you're working with me now, and I'm going to work it out, and I'm going to do something in you that you can't do for yourself. Because he was 99 years old. You don't hear too many dads, someone having a birth announcement. I just turned 100. My baby was just, he and his wife had gone past the years of childbearing, but God did something miraculous in them by his grace, and God gave him a new identity. I want to share that because we can live, I believe it will help us live in the awareness of God's presence if we do the same thing. Abraham believed God's word. In fact, if you stay right there, let me read this to you. It's Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and just two verses, 17 and 18. The Bible says this. It is written, I've made you a father of many nations in the presence of him, speaking of God, whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls things that do not exist as though they did. Verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope believed so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. Please notice that phrase. He believed and then he became. Jesus said, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. What we genuinely believe determines what we ultimately become. So we want to be Christians. We must believe in the light. And God makes us children of light. And so what we genuinely believe, we live out. So to believe and then to live it out. Abraham believed God's word, and he lived out that truth, and he became the father of many nations. Even three world religions trace their roots back to that man today. Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. So we can live in the awareness of God's presence with us by believing God's word and confessing our identity in Christ. Who are you in Christ? Let's say what God says about us. He said, I've already done something in you. Now you believe it and live it out. It's not that we try to become a good person. He makes us a good person by his grace. He gives us something in our heart that desires to do his will. Then we live it out. So it's so important. Live in the awareness of God's presence. It's only as we live in the awareness of God's presence that we have his grace to help us live a blameless life before him. Live in the awareness of God's presence. Would you say that with me? Live in the awareness of God's presence. Let me look just a couple more verses here in Genesis 17, and then I'll share some others. Genesis chapter 17, verse 10 says this. God is still speaking, and he says, this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin. It shall be, and here's the key word, a sign of the covenant. It's not the covenant, it's a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. I'll stop there. Remember what I said, 13 times God mentioned covenant? 8 of those, he said, it's my covenant. And now God says, every little baby boy, you circumcise them on the 8th day. Numbers in the Bible have significance. Does anyone know what 8 represents? New beginnings. So I'm so thankful the Bible says his mercies are brand new every morning. And there is a new beginning that we go from spiritual death to spiritual life and spiritual darkness to spiritual light when we are born again. But I think I need new beginnings all the time. New beginnings every day, brand new mercies. And I'm thankful that God is there to meet us with what we need. So he used this as a sign. And I love through the Bible, God gives signs to help us be aware of his presence. The signs do two things. So if you want to write these down, they help us in two ways. First of all, God's signs teach us. And then second, God's signs remind us. And I'll give you a few verses for this, all right? God's signs teach us and God's signs remind us. So talking about circumcision, physical circumcision teaches us about spiritual circumcision. It's similar to what we do today. Baptism teaches us a truth as well. It's a sign of the covenant that God has with Christians today. Just like circumcision was a sign that he was in covenant with Abraham and his descendants, and still many observe that to this day. So live in the awareness and then use the signs that God gives us. Let me read you this if you want to write it down. In fact, I'll say this real quick too. Just so you know, I'll take my notes from today and put them on our website so you can have them all, and also the Kids Church take-home page. So let me give you the website. It's in your bulletin. It's clmfamily.org, clmfamily.org. And it just you can look on the link from the pastor, and I'll put the notes on there. And I guess, are we able to record it so we can have the audio on the... Okay, all right, so that'll be available as well. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 6 says this, "And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live." So circumcision teaches us about the cutting away of our old sinful ways and how we can have a heart to love God and want to do his will. Circumcision also teaches us the power of believing God's word and doing what he said. Because as soon as God ascended back from Abraham, you know what he did? He circumcised even the little babies. He circumcised. It was like immediate. It wasn't any waiting around for years on this. It wasn't, I'm going to think about it. It was, he believed God's word and he did it. That's why I'm saying it's so important to live in the awareness of God's presence, because by the time of Jesus, many of those leaders had kept the sign, but didn't have the heart. And without the heart, the sign is meaningless. So live in the awareness of God's presence. Would you turn to someone next to you and just smile and tell them that? Live in the awareness of God's presence. So God's signs then teach us and God's signs remind us. There's a familiar scripture that is, it means a lot to me because it talks about how the Lord commissioned us to make disciples. Jesus said this right before he returned to heaven. And Jesus came, this is Matthew 28, so if you want to write it down, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority," would you say all authority? "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you, and lo or behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus assured us of his presence when he sent his Holy Spirit 10 days after he spoke these words and ascended back to heaven. So God's presence is with us. If we're born again, his presence is in us. I believe it's important that we live in that awareness because it will help us live in ways that are honoring to God. So God's signs teach us. Would you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6? If you're in Genesis, that's the first book. The fifth book is Deuteronomy chapter 6. Because baptism is a sign that we are followers of Jesus. Jesus was baptized to identify with us, and he was 30 years old. In the Old Testament, the priests, some of them would begin their ministry at age 30, and they would go through a ceremonial cleansing when they did. So Jesus began his public ministry at age 30 and having his baptism. But again, he had no sin to repent from, but he identified with us in our sin. And then in baptism, we identify with him in his death, burial, and resurrection. Okay, and how it's credited to us. Let me read you this scripture before I read it in Deuteronomy. It's in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Again, pretty familiar scripture. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, "We were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life." You prayed that this morning, that we will walk in newness of life. I see a couple of shirts that we made back there based on that scripture, walk in newness of life. Here is how the baptism, let me say it this way. Here is how the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is credited to us. When God's Spirit convicts us of unbelief in our sin, and he draws us to believe in our heart that Jesus really is Lord. He is the Son of God, sinless, crucified, risen, and ascended on high. When we believe in our heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is Lord, the Bible says God's Spirit baptizes us or immerses us into the body of Christ. So then the scripture says you were crucified with him. Some mornings your back may feel like it's 2,000 years old. But we were crucified with him because when we're in Christ, God credits us with everything that Jesus did for us. So we were crucified with him. We were buried with him. That's like going under the water. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, it's like we're coming out of the water, but we're also coming up into new life by God's Spirit. And we can walk in newness of life because the old has passed away and God just makes all things new. So to live in the awareness of God's presence, so important. And again, we have the signs like baptism. We have communion, for example, to not only teach us, but to remind us. So God's signs teach us. Would you say that with me? God's signs teach us. And then God's signs remind us. Would you say that with me? God's signs remind us. So teach us and remind us. And let me give you these last few verses. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Would you look at that with me? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Isn't that what he wants? He doesn't want just robots. He's a father, and he wants sons and daughters who want to love him back like he loves us. No one loves God without first acknowledging his love, because the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. He loves everyone, but if we're not aware and we don't believe it, we won't respond to him by loving him. So that's why it's so important. He said, "I want you to love me because I love you." Verse 6 says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them or repeat them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." In other words, it's more, God wants us to share his word as a way of life, not as a lecture. So if we are with our children, we spend time with others, life will give us opportunity to share God's word with them. They're called teachable moments. And so we share it because it's in our heart, and we lead the way because we love the Lord. So that's the key, not perfect, but we want to lead by example. So he says this then in verse 8, "You shall bind them as a," and there's our word again, "as a sign. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So God said, "I'm going to give you a sign." And I was going to show you a picture today. If I had known we wouldn't have the screen, I'd have brought the little instrument. Have any of you ever seen a picture of like ultra-Orthodox people who are the Jewish people who have like this black band around their arm, and they have a little black box here up on their head. That's how they believe they're keeping God's word. They're keeping it in front of their eyes. They literally bind it on their wrist or whatever. And then they write it on the doorposts of their house. I put one of these up on our house years ago because I've bought a couple in Jerusalem over the years. It's called a mezuzah, right? But I want to tell you what I have done. And it stood out to me because I haven't been using it as a sign to remind me. I mindlessly go on, open the door, go in, and it's right here on the outside of the door jamb. But this made me think, and I've started to pay attention to it because he says it's a sign to remind you to love me and keep my word. So I have purposely tried to start looking when I come in that door to say, wait a minute, what attitude am I bringing in here? What do I need to do to love God, to be more aware of his presence, and to live by his word? Because the signs, God gave us his signs to remind us of his love for us and his word to us, so that then we live it out. And I want to show you something here. These mezuzahs have a particular Hebrew letter on them. It would look like our W, but it's called either a sheen or sin. It has the S sound. It looks like this. Now, do any of you Trekkies recognize this? That is the letter that begins the Hebrew name Shaddai. I am El Shaddai. I am Almighty God. I'm your all-powerful God. I'm your all-sufficient God. I'm your nurturing, caring Father. Now live in that awareness, and you'll have grace to walk before me, not in a perfect way, but in a blameless way. So that's, as a matter of fact, I checked this out years ago. Kim has family members buried in Blandford Cemetery. There's a Jewish section of the cemetery. So one day, I don't even think Brittany was born, so it's been over 30 years. I went over into that section and I saw a tombstone like this, had the arched top. You know how some tombstones may have like a raised lettering and so forth? I saw one that was over 100 years old, and this was on it. Two hands, because that is how the priest pronounced the blessing over the people of God. So when Jesus met his disciples on the Mount of Olives, and it says he lifted his hands and blessed them, he may have very well said, Yahweh bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace. He may have said those very words and done his hands like this, because that's what they do this day. But let me tell you one more thing. If you could see the city of Jerusalem from like on a map, you'll see three mountains. The Mount of Olives, Mount Moriah, where the Dome of the Rock is now, and Mount Zion. It's like God put that letter right over his holy city. See what I'm talking about, the reminders? So God's signs teach us and remind us. Let me close with this. 1 Corinthians 11:25, and then I've got a Hebrew scripture and that's it. 1 Corinthians 11:25, this is what Jesus said about the new covenant and a sign. This is on the night that he was betrayed. He's having communion, really it's a Passover meal, with his disciples. And it says, in the same manner, Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in what? Remembrance or memory of me. See how it's a sign to teach us, but it also reminds us, because the Lord knows we have a tendency to forget. And we need reminding. There was even a song years ago that said, remind me, dear Lord, where you brought me from and where I could have been. That's a good reminder, isn't it? Thank God that if we're walking with him today, thank God by his grace, that's what he's doing. I want to give you those last two scriptures out of Hebrews, and then we'll have a closing chorus and invite the children back in. Sorry, I got to get some more water, y'all. Hebrews chapter 10. If you want to turn there with me, I want to read you these blessings from the New Covenant. Hebrews chapter 10, because God gave Abraham a covenant that he would have many descendants and a certain land. Jesus inaugurated a new covenant for us to give us every spiritual blessing. I've become more appreciative of the spiritual blessings because the spiritual blessings are going to be the ones that last forever. Let me give you an example. Grace. That's the whole point of grace is it can't be earned, deserved, bought. It's freely given out of God's goodness. His peace, Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. He's getting ready to go to the cross. Now, his heart was troubled because he was going to be betrayed. All of his followers left him, deserted him, and he was going to take our sin into his body to pay for it on the cross. But he still had a peace that went beyond circumstances, and he said, I'm going to give you my peace. I can say this, I really believe this before God. I would rather have his peace in my heart and life, guarding my mind and my heart, than all the money in the world. All the money in the world may not give you, might add to your turmoil and strife and issues. Thank God for financial blessings. I'm just saying, I want the spiritual even more. So here is, I love this, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 and 17, the Bible says this. This is the covenant, speaking of the new covenant God would bring. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds I'll write them. See, the Lord, he wrote the Ten Commandments on stone, but he says, I'm going to do a work by my spirit of your grace, of grace in your heart and in your mind. I'm going to put the desire within you to do my will. And then verse 17 says this, he adds their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. Can anybody say, thank you, Lord? Think about that one a moment. Their sins and their lawless deeds, I'm not gonna hang over your head ever again. They're cleansed by my blood and they're forever gone. I like to remind people sometime in the baptism because the Bible says that God will bury our iniquities in a sea, what's called of his forgetfulness. And today, if you got some old mess or whatever that you want to bury, go ahead and bury it and leave it behind and rise to walk in freedom from whatever that past is. Jesus makes us new. So live in the awareness of God's presence. God's signs teach us and remind us. And I want to close with a blessing there in chapter 13. Don't we need to live in the awareness of God's presence when we're tempted to sin? Do we need to live in the awareness of God's presence when we're hurting, when we're angry, when we're discouraged? How about this? When we're defeated? What a blessing it is to know I've learned enough about God to know that he's not against me. At one time, I pictured him like this. I'm watching you. You better not mess up. And that is so not God that he's with me to help me. And I need it. So to use the signs to teach us and remind us to live in the awareness of God's presence. And I'd like to close with this blessing. It's Hebrews chapter 13. I think it's pretty fitting for the message today. Now may the God of peace, I love that, the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, chapter 13, verse 21, may this God of peace make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you. Would you say, Lord, work it in me. working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, I hope that's practical enough, and I hope it'll encourage you and remind us to live in the awareness of God's presence. Can we stand together as we close in prayer? Just a moment, we're going to just call on the name of Jesus to do his work among us today. There is power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's resurrection power of God's Spirit available here to us today. Lord, I pray that you would just search our hearts. Help. Lord, I pray that we would give you that freedom to say, Lord, show me where I need to be reminded how I can live this truth out, to live daily. Lord, I want to be aware of your presence. I know I need your presence. Help me, Lord. I want to pray that God will give you practical steps that you can start taking today to live in the awareness of his presence. Before we sing this, if the children want to come in, it's okay. Would you just, you can look at me. Would anyone say, Brother Rocky, would you pray for me? I want that. And I want to start today. I want to do something that's going to help me live in the awareness of God's presence. Would you just lift your hand right where you are? Father, I pray that you would give us a practical step that we could live out, not just today, but as a way of life, to live in your presence and be blameless. Ultimately, not for us, as a testimony for your glory that will reach others. In Jesus' name, amen.